This is a commune podcast. Good night stories for adults. From my dreams to yours. Presented by Roshan Abbas. Hold the Mayo, a romance in five plates by Rehana Munir. Part 1, Butter Chicken. They met at the buffet. Between the sunset orange butter chicken and the sesame sprinkled butter naan. This corner of the wedding feast was a concession to a few of the groom side of the guests, whom the bride's family had pegged as old school. But they were wrong. The retired defense uncles with their cravats and the chiffon aunties with their waddles requested black olives at the life past the counters or pok choy at the Asian section. So when they ran into each other, it was just them at the unattended station, no one judging them as they zeroed in on the gleaming dish, a little wick at the bottom, keeping its creamy contents warm. He reached the counter first and buried the serving spoon into the gravy. Just as he was about to empty it out on his plate, he smelled her at his side. An exciting mix of jasmine and cigarette smoke. Seeing her focused on the dish, he did something uncharacteristically rash. He emptied the spoon onto her plate instead, with a bouncy, "Here you go." "And that buttery naan too, please. Thanks," he heard the smell say in an unflappable voice. He allowed himself to take a look at her as she walked away. Something in a thick Gurmukhi script with a greenish tinge peeped out of the low back of a sari blouse. The black and silver sari looked like something out of the 1920s, and yet the figure it wrapped itself around seemed like an apparition from the future, too distant to reach. And then there was her hair, falling lushly to her forehead but shaved to a crop at the back, like the ebb and flow of a tide all at once. "Gulab Jamun," he said to himself, rating the butter chicken a meager 5.5 on 10. Surprising for a Punjabi wedding. "She's going to want Gulab Jamun after the butter chicken. Oh, please let that happen," he begged the gods of wedding buffets. And so, he bided his time around the desi desserts, glistening gajar ka halwa and rocky kulfi seducing the plates of cheating diabetics. But no, it had to be gulab jamun after butter chicken, his culinary rulebook told him. Oh look, there she is. Plate unchanged but wiped clean of gravy and butter. He waited for her to walk up to the counter and made himself as unobtrusively visible as he could by her side. She dipped the serving spoon into the dish, scooping out two sugary specimens of deep-fried delight. "Here you go," she announced, casually dropping the globes on his hopeful plate. His bandgala and aligarhi pajama, together with a leafy cologne, had hit the right combination with her. That and his unfussy footwear. She never had any patience with shoe obsessors. "Hope they're better than the butter chicken," she said, echoing his thoughts and raising his hopes to Michelin heights. Part 2. Keema Pao. The Irani cafe was empty when they had walked in, but by the time they had each finished a cup of chai, the few tables around them had already filled up. The cat had taken her customary position around Meher's legs, and Shahid had ordered the mandatory chicken cutlets. In the months that the two had been dining out, they had built an intimacy based on menus and decor, kitchens and pantries. Peeling wallpaper in one cafe had triggered childhood memories for Shahid. A china pot with a tea cozy for Meher. They had described what would go into their perfect stews and who would attend their dream dinner parties. Meher had learnt about Shahid's almost militant obsession with being polite to waiters, no matter how ordinary the food. Shahid had discovered how Meher had zero tolerance for mediocre chaat. They picked up emotional cues from table etiquette, figured personality traits from appetizer choices. The restaurant outings were a shorthand that caught them up on lifelong habits. "You know, I've never actually liked Irani chai," Shahid confessed, taking a sip out of the thick glass. "But I just love Irani cafes. Is that allowed?" "Yes. The food mafia will permit it just this once," Meher laughed, asking for a bun muska. "The thing about cliches is they have something at their heart," she began. Shahid replied, clueless as to where that insight came from or where it was headed. In their many foodie jaunts, Shahid had noticed Meher's tendency to jump to the abstract at the slightest provocation. The sudden shift from the thin crust of a pizza to the shaky foundations of society. Now he took a quick look at the mirrored wall to his right, approving of the length of his hipster beard. Somewhere between Virat Kohli and Jimmy Kimmel, he thought to himself. He was careful not to appear vain in Meher's company, though. She could use it against him at the most unexpected of times. "We must try the Friday special someday, the Dabba Gosht. There used to be a superb one at this restaurant in Baikala. I've never even had a homemade one that was that good," Shahid said excitedly. A keema pav with a fried egg topping appeared on the table, and the two wordlessly decided it was best to dig into the same plate rather than split the runny egg in half. Once the yolk had dribbled into the keema, Meher and Shahid both knew this was no flash in the pan. You didn't share messy food with just anyone. Soon they left the cafe, each beginning their workday high on the carbs of a growing romance. Part 3, Filter Coffee. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Meher walks out of her room, rubbing her eyes, forever itchy. She had been allergic to cats ever since she was a child. And yet, Sultan had squeezed his way into her life like a moving ball of irresistibility. Shahid had always been better verse, but he had decided to play down this resistance. Between feline and human, Meher's choice was a foregone conclusion. "Okay, now please don't freak out," but Shahid began falteringly.
"Oof, too much sugar in the French toast," Meher said with a yawn.
"No, okay, you can freak out a bit." "Too little coffee in the coffee?" she asked with concern. "A bit less grave than that." "Oh, what's with the suspense, Shahid? You've made me breakfast before." "Yes, but this time I tried pongal and it's a bit wet." 15 minutes later, the two were on their way to Matunga in Meher's Thar. Fitted with all the comforts a four-wheel monster could conscionably offer. Shahid scrolled through his social media feeds as Meher sang along to Snow Patrol on her stereo. "Finger licker, off-roader, Kabir lover," Meher's Twitter bio offered. Sultan staring implacably from her DP. Shahid's, on the other hand, was less descriptive. "Hold the mayo," it said simply, bewilderingly. When they had reached their favorite Udupi in the breakfast capital of the city, Meher asked Shahid to jump out and get a table. Meanwhile, she negotiated parking outside the Jain temple, avoiding the tethered cow's sphere of influence. Shahid stood in the middle of the Sunday crowd, asked to wait for his two seats at a shared table. Meher soon made her way in, giving the owner of the cash counter a glimpse of her face. That was enough to be ushered to her table, the one by the window at the far end of the room. On the wall behind her, the blackboard declared the Udupi's limited yet excellent offerings, like the special ulundu and thoppa pola dosas, though her favorite had always been the special masala dosa. Soft, not crisp. And of course, the filter coffee. A plate of steaming vadas arrived at the table even before they had settled. Two young bankers, just in from the company's annual marathon, wondered when the couple facing them had placed the order. But Meher was used to being indulged by the restaurants she frequented. It's where she belonged. The thing she liked best was getting to know the people who imagined, cooked and served the food. The owners at the cash counter weren't her favorite species, but it was different in Matunga. She was even offered akki rotis and peanut chutney from the mustachioed owner's home. On the way back to Meher's home, Shahid took the wheel. That pongal was mind-blowing, he declared. Meher's sea-facing whirly apartment was everything his one BHK in Bazaar Road was not. Light-filled, spacious, stark. His little flat was crammed with mementos, plants, art and whatnot. A bustling account of his life and interests. In comparison, Meher left close to no imprint on her physical surroundings. Back in her apartment, they sank into the faded yellow couch. So, what plans for the big 3-0? As your older and wiser guide, I think it should be a short eats and cocktails kind of birthday. Too much khana gets wasted otherwise, she said, head in the crook of his neck. Okay, slow down with the advice, Grandma, he said, unbuttoning her checked shirt. Plus, I was thinking of Ahmed Bhai's biryani, the Oshiwara one. Oh, yeah, forget about the canopies. It's a biryani occasion. Little stereotypical, but who cares? Considering we first bonded over butter chicken, she replied. I would never have guessed you wrote about food for a living. Never, ever, Shahid said, leading her through the messy open kitchen to the unmade bed. Huh? And why? Meher asked. Which self-respecting food writer makes a beeline for the butter chicken at a buffet? Shahid joked. One that's off-duty. And I never have guessed you're a chef. In fact, that's even more surprising in this origin story, Meher said, locking him in an embrace. Yes, years later, when we're interviewed about how we met, that's what they'll title the piece. The Power of Cliché, How Butter Chicken Brought Two Food Connoisseurs Together, he said in his best TV announcer voice. That's pretty good. You'll be a food critic sooner than I turn chef. Such a bloody all-rounder you are, she said, nuzzling his neck and placing a palm over his mouth. Part 4. Sushi. And I'll have the tuna tataki to begin with, please. The Japanese restaurant was notoriously difficult to get into, and Meher's anonymous review policy made her a commoner on these excursions. On the upside, she was always free to bring a guest along, and the bill was no matter. So here they were. Things had become a bit strained between Meher and Shahid lately, with unavoidable commitments eating into their gingerbread world. The lazy Sunday lines became less frequent. The restaurant visits, less fun. And the talk about food invariably wound up in the compost pile. A happy conversation about milkshake had taken an unexpectedly dark turn when Shahid told Meher how an ex-lover had once made him the perfect beverage. Meher wasn't upset about the reference to the woman. She just could not believe that Shahid's idea of a perfect beverage involved putting ice cream in a blender. Why can't chefs be more judicious, she lamented. He meanwhile began to find her reviews less readable every day. If she wasn't making a literary reference he didn't understand, she was berating a perfectly good dish for reasons such as lacks relevance or reeks of chefy arrogance. Why can't critics be more kind, he seethed. So, how's business today? Meher asked as Shahid lifted a piece of sashimi. Not bad. We ran out of dessert by 7, which means we need to start preps an hour earlier to last till 8. His garage bakery, Baked Comfort, had become a fast favorite even with the avocado hunters of Bandra West. The sweets and savories had been called hearty and wholesome in more than one review. In a suburb filled with gluten-free, conscience-placating food, there was still room for old-fashioned desserts crafted out of bread, butter, sugar, and eggs. By the time the sushi had arrived, each of the two had gone through a glass of whiskey sour with a wasabi twist. I know that look, Shahid ventured. Too little wasabi? And a lackadaisical approach too. Before she could finish her critique, the sushi boat arrived like a pleasure cruise. An oceanic adventure with gari and wasabi sitting majestically in a corner. Halfway through the miraculous meal, Shahid lowered his gaze, tapping his chopsticks distractedly on his plate. "What is it?" Meher asked. "You've been distant through the meal." "I have," Shahid replied unconvincingly. Meher flicked away a wave of hair that had fallen to her forehead. She needed a haircut desperately, but her recent work schedule had been punishing. There were new launches every week, and she had finally begun to tire of the drill. "You said something yesterday about the bread I got back from the bakery."
"You're still upset about that?"
she said, exasperated.
"I told you it was just that it's meant to be had fresh."
"I wasn't planning to bring it up, but you started complaining about the whiskey sour. It was the same with my Danish roll and the ciabatta. One wasn't glazed enough, one was too dry."
"Was dry the word you used, or was it dusty?"
I may have," Meher said sheepishly, now with her gaze lowered. Then regaining her confidence, she shot back. "But that's my job, to talk about food. Only when you're paid to do it," Shahid replied in a tone Meher hadn't encountered in the 3 years she had known him. "Through bad bosses, rising rents, typhoid, even the re-election of a despot."
"That's not fair, Shahid," she said, his name feeling like a bad prawn in her mouth.
"You can tattoo Kabir Dohas on your back all you like, but you have a lot to learn when it comes to figuring how people feel." Meher stopped the approaching waiter in her track and leaned in. "Okay, I wasn't going to bring this up, but it's not like you're full of praise for my work either." Shahid raised his thick eyebrows and then almost immediately pulled them down in a frown. The effect was comical and ordinarily would have amused Meher, but she was far from laughter now. "You sniggered at my review of the new Thali place in Marol."
"Who uses the word palimpsest in a Thali review?" he said, stretching the word out like mozzarella for full effect.
"It's a good word," she said defensively. "It's a Gujarati Thali, Miss Tharoor," he replied caustically. A knot of anger formed in Meher's chest, a very dangerous prospect. As per history, it could either erupt volcanically or freeze into a glacier. She gestured for the bill, asking for the unfinished dishes on the table to be packed. So it would be ice then, not fire. "For someone who loves giving people feedback on their work, you're not so good at receiving it, are you?" Shahid sizzled.
"An attack is not feedback," she hissed.
"If I can be accused of overusing an ingredient, you can be accused of using the wrong word." The argument went silent like a pressure cooker with the steam let off. Meher had the last word.
"You know, I think I'm over butter chicken, and I think bread is overrated."
It was more than Shahid could take. He dropped his napkin on the table and began to walk out of the restaurant in a heavy haze. Once he had reached the door, he turned back as if to deliver a final salvo, but thinking better of it, he walked decisively away. Almost synchronically, the bill arrived in a little cane basket along with a plate of dessert. "Happy anniversary, food fairy," said the icing on the mochi brownie. Meher took a bite, wondering whether there was a word in Japanese to describe the moment when the sweetest taste turns sour in one's mouth. Part 5. Paan and Bhutta. Months had passed since Meher had committed relationship harakiri over the Japanese dinner. She had tried making up with unannounced visits bearing gooey brownies and requests for fancy dinners at lobster and chardonnay dining rooms, but Shahid stayed as determined as a loaf of bread that refuses to rise. He left messages unanswered and emails unopened. The voice notes didn't even stand a chance. Something about the sushi day had made him realize that their food compatibility hid a more serious mismatch. Meher's need to analyze, and his to experience. This would not end well, and so it had to end fast. One muggy April night, Shahid reactivated his Tinder account, lying neglected since that bun maska date with Meher at the Irani Cafe. He left swiped his way through the evening, skipping over crystal healers and animal psychics, poets whose verses didn't scan, and event managers whose energy didn't flag. A few evenings into what seemed like a pointless pursuit, the swipe friskily changed direction.
A woman who described her paan preference in her Tinder profile was a first for Shahid. He wondered whether it was code for something darker, saucier. But a quick chat with the lady, a perky producer at a TV channel, revealed she meant it literally. He suggested the local paanwala for their first date, putting her quirkiness to the test. She responded enthusiastically, picking a shop on Turner Road. Shahid was early as usual. He was browsing the magazines in the stall beside the paan shop when she arrived in a mustard yellow dress, hair falling to her waist. Even prettier than in her profile. Shahid smiled to himself. They soon found themselves at the Carter Road promenade, where paan turned into chana and chana into bhutta as street lamps lit the busy scene. The conversation touched upon safe subjects and light opinions, neither in the mood to get too serious on a first date. They soon settled into a rhythm of nightly strolls, walking by the sea or through leafy lanes in no hurry for discoveries or revelations. A few weeks into the steady hum, Shahid felt himself falling into the same comfortable pattern as he had with Mehr. And with it, she returned to his mind with a force he wasn't quite prepared for. She, with her fierce opinions and sudden mood swings, jerky breaking and gentle snoring. And then one morning, when he took a loaf of ciabatta out of the oven, he saw what she had meant. The ciabatta was in fact too dusty, just as Meher had observed. The paan girl, with the easygoing approach and spontaneous laughter, was perfectly lovely, but he missed the girl with the vocabulary that got on his nerves. Meher, meanwhile, had been casually dating a vegan musician, suppressing her instincts about both food and melody. One song in particular, Plant-Based Love, had left her troubled. His unkempt hair, introspective bent, far-left politics pulled her towards him. But once that first wave of attraction had waned, she looked back at the butter chicken days with Shahid with a growing fondness. And the more she thought about it, the more she agreed that palimpsest was perhaps not the best word for a Thali review. Nevertheless, she decided to stick with Chlorophyll Boy since Shahid had emphatically closed the door on her. Something had to be done. Shahid decided while pulling down the shutters of his bakery one windy night. He had promised to meet the paan girl in an hour, which gave him just enough time to dash home and get into his nonchalantly dressy date clothes. But he just couldn't do it. He had to see Meher, convince her that he had been too hasty, too rigid, that they were meant to be together. He composed a quick message that ended things with his date, apologizing for lacking the courage to do it in person. He confessed that he was still hung up on a previous relationship. She replied with a terse, "Goodbye." The height of grace under the circumstances, he thought. Then he proceeded to type a gushing message to the phenomenal Meher, the only woman who had ever led him to question the quality of his bread. When the phone beeped, Meher looked at it in disbelief. The man across from her was looking at her with the warmest of smiles, a smile that was saying, "Look what I just did for you, but I can do so much more." After months of looking at her food in distaste, he had spontaneously conceded, leaving her stunned. Chlorophyll Boy had just taken his first bite of butter chicken in over 11 years. The vegan had fallen in love and fallen from grace. Meher put her phone away, suspended between crazy happiness at hearing from Shahid and sickening guilt for tempting her date away from his vegan paradise. "It's a good thing she didn't believe in hell," she thought to herself, as she began to compose a breakup speech in her head. This is a Commune production. This episode was produced by Sharanya Subramanian, and Pradyum Chavre is our editor and sound designer. This story was written by Rehana Munir, edited and curated by Pranika Borkar and Shantanu Anand. Thank you for listening to Bedtime Stories for Adults. This story was created in collaboration with Anchor. If you've ever wanted to start your own podcast, it doesn't get any easier than Anchor.
You might think you need all kinds of equipment to get started, but all you need is Anchor. It is an all-in-one free tool from Spotify that lets you create your own podcast and release it everywhere. With Anchor, you can record, edit, and upload your show to be heard on all listening platforms. Try it on your web browser or right from the Anchor mobile app. And best of all, it's totally free. Try Anchor today or tomorrow morning. Good night. This is a Commune podcast.